Blog Talk Radio.
And praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministry, along with the life support of church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted this evening to be back on our radio broadcast for the study in the Word of God. I give God all the praise and give him all the glory. I magnify his holy name on tonight. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion. I will be reading from this is not it. Maybe the page turned. I'll be reading from Psalm 64, I'll be reading from. Hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, for the insurrection of the workers of iniquity, who whip their tongues like a sword and bend their bows to shoot out, to shoot their arrows, even bitter words, that they may shoot in secret at the perfect. Suddenly do they shoot at him and fear not. They encourage themselves in an evil manner. They consume of laying snares privately. They say, who shall see them? They search out iniquities. They accomplish a diligent search, both the inward thought of every one of them and the heart is deep. But God shall shoot at them with an arrow. Suddenly shall they be wounded, so they shall make their own tongue to fall upon themselves. All that see them shall flee away, and all men shall fear and shall declare the works of God, for they shall wisely consider of his doing. The righteous shall be glad in the Lord and shall trust in him, and all the upright in heart shall glory. I have just read you from Psalm 64 in its entirety. May God richly add a blessing to the doers, the readers, the hearers, but most of all, the doers of his most holy word. God is such a good God. We're going to hear a song right now, if I can get it.
Yeah.
Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we confess and we repent. We ask for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, I come now, God. Just thank for another opportunity, God, to study your word on tonight. I ask you right now to let me decrease and the Holy Ghost increase to minister tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I ask you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, to just use me, God. Use me tonight. I ask you to open up our understanding, our hearts, and our minds in the name of Jesus, Lord, for we know nothing, but you know everything. I ask you to just move me from myself that the Holy Ghost can take over and take control. Send your power down right now. Send it down right now, God. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice on tonight. I ask you tonight, God, in the mighty name of Jesus, to cover their family, cover their homes and vehicles, everyone that they hold dear, God. You cover on tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I just give you praise. I give you glory. I magnify you on tonight. Then I bind up the strong man, every strong man from our lives and from this radio broadcast, every witch, every wizard, every warlock, every psychic, every demon on assignment. Your assignment is canceled right now from our lives and this radio broadcast. And, Lord, I bind them up. I cast them out. I command them to go in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. We just give praise and glory to the Most High God. We just give reverence to him and to in Apostle Dean and to each one of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I just thank and praise God. I'm just going to allow the reading to be read now so we can get into the word of God on tonight. Amen.
2 Samuel
7,
chapter 10. It happened that the king of the people of Ammon died, and Hanun, his son, reigned in his place. Then David said, I will show kindness to Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness to me. So David sent by the hand of his servant to comfort him concerning his father. And David's servants came into the land of the people of Ammon. And the princes of the people of Ammon said to Hanun, their lord, do you think that David really honored your father because he had sent comforters to you? Has David not rather sent his servants to you to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it? Therefore, Hanun took David's servants, shaved off half of their beards, and cut off their garments in the middle and at their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, wait at Jericho until your beards have grown and then return. When the people of Ammon saw that they had made themselves repulsive to David, the people of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rahab and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 foot soldiers, and from the king of Macham, 1,000 men, and from Ishtab, 12 men. Now, when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the army of the mighty men. Then the people of Ammon came out and put themselves in battle array at the entrance of the gate. And the Syrians of Zobah, Beth-Rahab, Ishtab, and Machab were by themselves in the field. When Joab saw that the battle line was against him before and behind, he chose some of Israel's best and put them in the battle array against the Syrians. And the rest of the people he put under the command of Abisha, his brother, that he might set them in the battle array against the people of Ammon. Then he said, if the Syrians are too strong for me, then you shall put me, but then you shall help me. But if the people of Ammon are too strong for you, then I will come and help you. Be of good courage and let us be strong for our people and for the city of our God. And may the Lord do what is good in his sight. So Joab and the people who were with him drew near for battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him. When the people of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fleeing, they also fled before Ishbaha and entered the city. So Joab returned from the people of Ammon and went to Jerusalem. When the Syrians saw that they had been defeated by Israel, they gathered together. Then Hadadezer sent and brought out the Syrians who were beyond the river, and they came unto Helam. And Shobach, the commander of Hadadezer's army, went before them. When it was told David, he gathered all Israel, crossed over the Jordan, and came to Helam. And the Syrians set themselves in battle array against David and fought him. Then the Syrians fled before Israel, and David killed 700 charioteers and 40,000 horsemen of the Syrians, and struck Shobach, the commander of the army, who died there. And when all the kings who were servants to Hadadezer saw that they were defeated by Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians were afraid to help the people of Ammon anymore. Amen. The word of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Chapter 11. And it came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. And it came to pass in an evening tide, that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful and looked upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house and were followed. And there followed him a messenger. I'm sorry. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. And when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go down unto thy house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark of Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go unto my house to eat, to drink, and to lie with my wife, as they liveth, and as thy soul liveth? I will not do this thing. And David said unto Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abide in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him, and he made him drunk. And at even, he went out to lie on his bed with the servants of his lord, but went not down to his house. In the morning, that David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. And he wrote in the letter, saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle, and retire ye from him, that he may be smitten and die. And it came to pass, when Joab observed the city, that he assigned Uriah unto a place where he knew that valiant men were. And the men of the city were out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people of the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all the things concerning the war, and charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matter of the war unto the king, king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approached ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon him from the wall that he died in Thebes? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us, get up, into the field, and we were upon them, even unto the entering of the gate. And the shooters shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. Then David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not the thing displease thee, for the sword devoured one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city and overthrow it, and encourage thou him. And when the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Chapter 12. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeded many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had both and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man and spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus said the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wife into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such and things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandments of the Lord to do evil in his sight. Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will rise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of his son. For thou didst secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, and thou shalt not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? But when David saw that his servant whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said unto his servant, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servant, thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child. Why is it while it was alive, but when the child was dead, thou did rise and eat bread? And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. And Joab fought against Rabbah of the children of Ammon and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David and said, I have fought against Rabbah and have taken the city of water. Now therefore gather the rest of the people together and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called after my name. And David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. And he took their king's crown from off his head, the weight world was a talent of gold with a precious stone, and it was set on David's head, and he brought forth the spoil of the city in great abundance, and he brought forth the people that were within and put them under saws and under harrows of iron and under axes of iron, and made them pass through the bricklaying. And thus did he unto all the cities of the children of Ammon. So David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen, amen, and praise the Lord. This is really good. Let's answer these questions. Chapter 10. What did David want to do for Hanan, the son of Nahash? What did he want to do for him?
Was it in verse 2 and 3 where he showed him kindness to his servant?
Yep. Exactly right, because he showed kindness. He showed kindness to Hanan's father had done for him, because Hanan's father had done that to him, to David. How did Hanan's servants perceive David's kindness? And that should be in verse 4. Wherefore Hanan took David's servant and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. That's how he perceived, because he was like, even in 3, he was saying like they were spies. And it's, in verse 3 it says, and the prince of the children of Ammon said unto Hanan, their lord, thinkest that thou that David doeth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Have not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search out the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? So that's how he had perceived it.
Mm-hmm.
What did they do to David's servants? Okay, I already answered that. That was in 4, where he cut the half of their beards and stuff like that off, and garments and stuff. What did David do to the Ammonites' army? Should be in verse 18.
He sent out Joab. Yeah, I have verse 18, to battle against them, and 700 chariots and 40,000 horsemen of the Syrians, and he struck them. Shobak, the commander of the army, who died there.
Yep. Amen. So did. Okay. Chapter 11. What sin did David and Bathsheba commit? And we all know that. In verse 4, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Married a woman who was married and had a baby.
Yeah. When Bathsheba became pregnant, how did David first try to cover up his sin?
He told them to send Uriah to him, and he wanted Uriah to sleep with his wife so it could be passed off that it was his child instead of his.
So did. Ain't that something? What was David's second plan to cover his sin with Bathsheba?
To have Uriah killed.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to put him in the front of the battle, and he knew what was going to happen.
Yep, verse 15, somewhere in there. Yep, he put them on the front line of the battle. Sure did. Okay, chapter 12. What judgment came against David from God through Nathan? Let me see.
Verse 11 says, the Lord, behold, I will raise up adversity against you from your household, and I will take your wives before your eyes and give them to your neighbor, and he shall lie with your wives in sight of him of this son. The Lord also put away your sins, you shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child who was born shall also die.
Mm-hmm. That's right. That is right. Why did David fast and prostrate himself before the Lord while his child was sick? Verse 22, I think. And he said, while the child was yet alive, he fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? And so, but now he is dead, wherefore shall I fast? Can I bring him back again? I should go to him, but he should not return to me. Mm-hmm. Who was the second child born to David and Bathsheba?
Solomon.
Solomon, yeah. And see, okay, we're going to just talk about some stuff. I guess we'll start with the chapter 10. It's been really good, and it's going to get even better. But it just goes to show you that we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. So where he defeated the Ammon, wait a minute. Well, the children of Ammon died, and Hunan the son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness. So this where David's heart is. See, David's heart was like that. In the last chapter, he was trying to, I forgot what it was about, but he still was showing kindness, and they didn't want to take him with that kindness. They didn't feel like, oh, it was Jonathan's son he was showing kindness to. In the last chapter, he was showing kindness to him. Any relatives or saw, he wanted to bring them to his house. So Jonathan, his best and good friend that died with his dad, had a son, a crippled son, a handicapped son, where both his feet was bad. So David had his servant Tobiah to go and get him and to bring him to him. And he was telling him, he said, what have I done for me to be like this, such a dog as I am? Before David, he just bowed down and stuff, and David gave him all of the land of Saul and Jonathan. He gave it to him, and he made that servant of Saul's take him back to that land and had them to till the land and grow stuff and vegetables and stuff. And so that's how his heart was. So right here, David Hart is still the same now. He want to take in the Moab, they David's enemies, but he's saying that Moab, the king, took care of him, and he did something for David. And so he wanted to show kindness back to Hanan. But that servant, whoever he was trying to tell Haman, do you think he's sending somebody just because, some messengers, some servants, just because he want to be nice? He probably got them spying out, trying to be trying to look out the city, spy out the city, to see what they can do and take over the city. And that Hanan got some servants and cut their beard, half of their beard, half of their clothes, even to their butt. He got them, and he disgraced them. You see, back in those days, to have a beard, a beard is held in high respect when you had a beard. And then a beard was never cut off, but if you was in mourning, you didn't cut. If you grew a beard, you never cut it off. You never did cut it off, unless you was in mourning or as a sign of slavery. Cutting off half of the beard and the clothes rendered them ridiculous and made them look like slaves. What was done to these men was an accusation of insult. They insulted them by doing that. But David sent them to that city, Jericho, because it had not been rebuilt. There wasn't hardly nobody there. So he wanted them to go there till their beard and stuff grew back. And it was like it was a private place for them to grow their beard and stuff back, because if they had went into their city like that, they would have been really just talked about and insulted and looked at real bad. But David knew that, so he told them to go to Jericho and just wait till their beard and stuff came grew back. And they sent them some clothes and stuff. And the children of Ammon, they saw that they stank. That is, that their conduct was rendered them abominable. This is in the Hebrew mode of expressing such a feeling. So that's what they did to them, and it wasn't good. It was not good, but David was still trying to show them what that's what he was trying to do, showing that good heart. And like Prophetess Rainey was saying the other night, can you be born with a good heart like that? Or do you come? Do God, after you come here, do God make your heart good like that? Well, I was talking to Apostle Dean about it today, and we was discussing about where, oh, the world, you already, y'all forgive me, where we was born into iniquity. We was born into sin, so our heart could not be like that because Adam and Eve had already sinned. So we were born into sin. Our hearts wouldn't be genuine like that. Nobody's heart but Jesus' heart was like that when he was born. His heart was already like that, but our heart wasn't. And so I just came about that today. But he had a very, very good heart, and that's why they always called him a man after God's own heart. So, I'm trying to see what else is interesting. All of it is interesting to me. That's chapter 10. But even to that, David got them. David got them for doing that to them men. Yes, he did. He killed so many of them. Yes, he did. He got them back. They knew he was coming, so they was trying to get together, and they went and hired some people, I think, too, trying to get ready to fight David, but it wouldn't work. Because, see, Hanan should have knew, and I listened to that man, whoever that man was. And then David fought Hadadezer. And Hadadezer had, he the one was trying to hire men, so many thousands of men, to fight against David. But it did not work because before they got up, David's men was whooping them good. And so them one of them, the Syrians, whatever they are, they stopped. They went one way and another a tribe went another way. They couldn't take on David. They let it go. So, and David won that thing. God gave David favor, and he won that thing because David was obedient. And then I'm trying to see about chapter 11. When and you know how it is, when, especially a man, and he out up on the roof and look over there and see Bathsheba. And Bathsheba was fine and pretty and naked. So what you think he was going to do? He said, now where has she been? Now, wasn't but the devil that put that lady out there on that, up there on that deck and made it possible for him to be out there on the other deck. And he's looking at her take a bath naked. Who does that? But I guess back then that's how they took a bath. But, you know, but him being king, he could have anybody he wanted, but he was still trying to look good for God. So he tried and don't. That's why I tell people, God see your every move. God knew exactly, just like he watched David then, he watched us right now. Just like he watched David back then, he watched us back right now. Whatever we think we're doing and don't nobody see it to us, I'm here to tell you today, God looking at us. He look at us. So that's why I be trying to tell people, if you think you're getting away, you might get by, but you will not get away with whatever you're doing or whatever you've done and think you got away with it. You won't get away. Mm-hmm. So then he sent, and that's just like God to speak, to send the prophet. See, the prophet had to come to bear that kind of judgment that God put on the prophecy. Back then, people didn't. They was running from prophets because they was carrying what God gave them. But now you getting a new car, you're going to get some money, you're going to get this, you're getting this and all that. That God ain't told them that. God ain't told them all that. He can do judgment back in the Old Testament, but up here, ain't no kind of judgment. Mm-mm, the devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. Mm-hmm. So after that, he sent that parable by Nathan. And when Nathan told that parable, David got mad because his heart was like, who do they think they are? But that's just like God to talk in parables to make you feel like, hey, I would never do nothing like that, but you did. You sin, and you committed adultery. Ain't no one sin no greater than the other. So the judgment that fell on David was rough. So when you know you sin, ain't nothing else for you to do but run to God. He fasted and he prayed and he cried out because that judgment was death for his only child. Well, I don't know if it was his only child, but to his child that his wife just had. And it was some more, but this was the most thing he was fasting and praying for, because after that, the baby died. He got up. All the other stuff, we weren't worried about. But that right there, he thought God would show mercy and change his mind. And don't get me wrong, God does show mercy, and God will change his mind about some things, I guess. I don't know. I don't even know about God's mind. I ain't going to say that. I'm not going to say that because I don't know the mind of God. and his mind is not like our thoughts are not like his thoughts. So, you know, when we think it should be one way, it's another way, and it could be vice versa. He could fast and pray about something else, and it may happen. Who know the mind of God? Who? Let me know who they are, because I don't know, but that he had to go through that process. And God, after that, a few years later, or whenever, I don't guess it was no few years later, it might have been a couple of months, Bathsheba conceived again, and here comes Solomon. Here comes Solomon. I'm telling you, that's amazing. That's amazing. And in chapter 12, let me see, that was 11, 12. Oh, I didn't bypass everything, ain't it? Yeah, I'm done with it. I was going to go on the 13th, but I bet not. Yeah, so anybody have any questions or any comments? I didn't talk the whole thing. I'm so sorry. I thought we had one more.
Yeah, I have a comment. I'm still continuing to like the heart of David, because his heart, it can sometimes seem just so genuine, toward the things of God, but yet we still see how David sinned. And it just shows us, like you said, that none of us fall short of the glory of God. Also, some of this stuff here that was still happening, you know, back in the time of David, I think Bathsheba was still a little bit responsible, because she knew what she was doing when she was bathing, and that she bathing and knowing that the man was looking at her like that. So some of that responsibility, I believe, was also on her, because her mind was full of whatever, lust or whatever you want to call it, and she was just as responsible. But then, too, I also like the part where it shows you, like you said, that God sees everything. He knows everything, and that when we think we're getting away with something, we're not, because David was being deceitful, trying to allure Uriah, and he wanted to get him drunk and thinking that that was going to, you know, deter him from his loyalty, but it didn't. And even, you know, when he sent his servant out, you know, to make sure that he was on the front line, his mind was still in a place where he was, it was like trying to get what he wanted, which was to have him so that he and Bathsheba can, live a good life, live the pleasant life. But see, God had a plan too, because he told him by his prophet Nathan that he still was not going to succeed here, because that the child would die. But then God blessed him with Solomon too. But, you know, a lot of just showing, for me, it was just showing the realness of how we can relate to things in our day and time, and that we still, you know, have to humble ourselves before God and still, you know, work hard as we can to do what's right before the sight of God. So I thought it was very, very good.
And Ray, you got anything? You don't have to, because I know you got the baby. This was just a good lesson. I'm just looking at that in the commentary where it says Bathsheba was probably first in the transgression by a too public display of her charms. See that? So she out there half naked, by which accidentally the heart of David was affected, wounded, and blinded. He committed one crime, which he employed many shifts to conceal. These all failings, he is led from step to step to the highest degree of guilt. Because, you know, when we do something wrong, it'll make us feel guilty. Our conscience. Mm-hmm. We'll be feeling guilty as I don't know what. This was really good. It was really, really good. I hadn't even thought about her. You know, I was just thinking about what he did. I ain't thought about her, but I did think about why would she be out there on the deck naked? Why are you out there on the deck naked?
Women be trying to get other people's husbands. You know, they be scheming and stuff. And, you know, they don't care, but she was married. But she didn't care. Yep. Whatever's going on with her and Uriah, it seemed like Uriah was a good man.
He sure did. He was out fighting the war, and she out there being naked.
Then, you know what, and then she out there, yeah, naked, trying to get somebody else.
Get so the king. She got the king.
She sure did. She got him too, didn't she?
Mm-hmm. Bathing out there on the porch. And he a man look over there looking like, I want her. I didn't know she have all them curves and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And sent the messenger and got her. Sent the servant and got her. Went to right on the bed with her. Uriah's wife. That was
mm-hmm.
something. But we all sin. Because God loved David. He loved David. Yes, he did. But David sinned. And he repented. And he turned from that. See, when you sin and you repent, you got to turn. You can't do it no more. Because if you don't, you keep on repenting. I mean, you keep on doing it, that means you got to keep on repenting.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was good. It was a good thing. I really enjoyed everything. I hope you all did, too, because, I mean, this thing really spoke to us. I mean, it really did, not only by Bathsheba and David, but even how he fasted while the son was living. And then when he died, he got right up. Like, okay, that's it. But like he said, he thought God might change his mind and show mercy and let the son live. See, that's you can't limit God because he could do what he want to do. We can't, but he can. So that go to show you can't, I don't care how close it is, you still want to do what you got to do so God can bless you. You can't give up, and you can't put no limit on the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We're going to get ready to get off. If anyone have anything else to say before we get off? Mm-hmm. So on Tuesday, we have 13 and 14, and next Thursday we don't have anything, but we'll be looking to do 13 and 14 on Tuesday. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this, your word, God. Thank you for opening up our minds and our understanding, God, in the name of Jesus. I ask you right now, God, in the name of Jesus, and I thank you for it. Let me just thank you for the understanding that you've given us in examples on how things work and how David's heart was good, but he still sinned. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to see your examples in your word. I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice, every member of this church, God. Lord, you keep them covered, cover their families, their homes, their vehicles, everyone that they hold dear. Bless them now and cover them in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. God bless you all. You all have the rest of a good night. Just have a good night, and I'll be on the live in the morning. I'll be on the live by the grace of God. Amen. I love y'all.
Okay.
Y'all have a good night. Love you.
Love you. And,
guys, love you.
Love you,
love you
too.
Y'all.
Love you, y'all.
Good night.
All right. Good night.
Love you.